Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week, we continue with the second and final part of author and activist Dave Geharry's recent interview with National Alliance Chairman William White Williams. When we left off last week, we heard Dr. William Pierce's stated reason that Mr. Williams should come and work for him. Quote, "You need to be here, Will, because the Jew and his collaborators still live." Close quote. Now, we continue as Chairman Williams gives his promise around 1992 to devote 2 years of his life to working for and living on the property of the National Alliance, eventually becoming the Alliance's membership coordinator. And as history has proven, that 2 years has gone a lot farther. Listen.
I told him I'd give him 2 years instead of the 1 year I gave Clausen. And after 2 years, I was pretty well burnt out again. I lost my second wife. So he said, don't go far. And he made me his first regional coordinator down in the Carolinas. And I took what I'd learned from him and went back home and bought me a place up here in the mountains. And that was 31 years ago. And, well, that's how I got involved with the National Alliance. Dr. Pierce was a very patient teacher, and I was very inquisitive, and I picked his brain as best I could and learned from him what books he had read and how he had worked with George Lincoln Rockwell first after being an academic, a doctor of physics, and a rocket scientist working with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory of NASA, and a bona fide rocket scientist who gave up his career to work for his people and went and worked with George Lincoln Rockwell. I had read Rockwell's interview in Playboy in 1966, right before I went in the Army, and it had a great impact on me, kind of like Glenn Miller did. How can he say these things openly?
Right.
And anyway, 4 years in the Army, I didn't get to do much except be a soldier, so it took me a few years before I really observed what was going around in our country, and it was just not what I was used to growing up with. When I went in the Army, I got my first dose of nigritude, being in close proximity with a bunch of blacks from up north in cities. And it was just like culture shock almost. But when they shave your head and put you in an old baggy uniform that everybody else is wearing, and they've got shaved heads, they're trying to equalize you, you know. And I was pretty unreconstructed by then. And I decided to go to OCS, Officer Candidate School, and Special Forces. And there was very few blacks in either one of them. So that's one way of insulating yourself from it. The military was still pretty white back then. And during the war, I could see it coming, feminizing it or racializing it. Well, what's going on now in the military is just sickening.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't recommend any young white man going in the military these days. You'll find yourself in some far-flung war that's worthless. You might be in Ukraine or Middle East or Africa. We've got a border that the military should be down on that border protecting our nation, but this nation's pretty much gone.
Yeah, it's not our nation.
No, people still think it's going on clippity-clip, just like it's supposed to. But one statistic I remember is we were about 30% of the world's population at the turn of the 20th century, And now we're under 6%.
Right.
Half of that 6% is female. Maybe half of them are childbearing. So what are you getting down to? We're being replaced by these third worlders that are invading our living space. And as long as people see white people on Fox News or TV or whatever, they think we're still in charge. But it's just not so. So what I've really latched onto from Dr. Pierce is that we have to separate. The only way to preserve our precious gene pool is to separate from the multiracial mess and having aliens control the mass mind through their mass media. The Jews control Hollywood, they control electronic media, print media, and they always have. From the early days of Hollywood, before TV, there were three radio networks, CBS, ABC, NBC, and sure enough, when TV came along, it was the same three Jews that owned those three networks, and they owned the TV networks. Well, that was all there was when we were growing up. We didn't know what Jews were. We didn't think much about control of our media or our schools or churches or any of that stuff. We lived in white neighborhoods, and so we've got to get back to that. We've got to withdraw our consent to be forced together, and we can do it. We just start our own communities, and it's not just for any whites. It's for whites who are like-minded, who are eligible. No race mixers, people with non-white dependents, they're not eligible for our national alliance. Queers, transsexuals, that alphabet, LGBTQ, RST, whatever it is, we don't want them. They've got their own communities. So some may think that's illegal, but it's not. We have freedom of association, and we choose to be among like-minded people. We don't want alcoholics or drug addicts. We want wholesome, normal people who agree with us pretty much. And when I say agree with me, I don't mean you have to be a cosmotheist. You can be a Christian and apply for membership, but we don't want you try to proselytize.
So after Dr. Pierce passed, now what year was that he passed?
That was 2002.
And how did that change you and the organization?
Almost any organization, when the founder dies, there's usually infighting and squabbling and people trying to stake out their position, then that's what happened. And I resigned from the alliance. I didn't like the way it was going. I got married that next year, 2003. We'll be 21 years in August. So,
congrats.
Took three tries.
Same year.
Yeah.
I was married in 01, and right. So it'll be 23 years this December. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, my first wife was somebody I'd practically grown up with. She was younger, but her mother was a big factor in her life. She was a staunch Methodist, and she didn't particularly care for my opinions. She said I was aloof. Imagine that. I didn't go along with the Methodism, but...
You weren't a lemming.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a lemming. Her husband had been Secretary of Agriculture for the state of North Carolina, so anyway, she had a lot of influence, and my wife was pretty much dependent on her because she had daughters to raise, and we got married by Clausen, but it just didn't last. She needed to be with her family. So that's good. Go on and be with them. You know, sure. My second wife was Russia. I went to Russia and found me a beautiful wife over there. She came here when I went to work with Dr. Pierce, and she couldn't take it either. It was just too much. She'd been a concert pianist and a model and a airline stewardess and the first female to have a driver's license in her city. And, you know, when she got there to West Virginia, it was like shock. Yeah, all right, honey, you go on. Do what you got to do. But I went back to Russia 10 years later and found me another one, and that one's worked out.
What does that say, Will, about the destruction of this country, that someone has to travel halfway across the world to find a suitable white woman?
Well, I didn't have to, but I got kind of fed up with American girls who spoiled. I don't know if that's the right word, but there are great American girls. But I just had an attraction for Russians. They didn't have any blacks over there. I felt amongst my own kind when I met Lana's family and her friends. They talked funny, big deal. We can get around that, but they were just excellent, loving white people.
Right.
And how in the world could they have been our enemy? I couldn't understand it. And Germans, our enemy? It's crazy when you look at it. I've been reading this book I just got from you yesterday, The Myth of German Villainy, and it's fascinating how we've been so propagandized to hate Germans. Anyway, we're going to start selling this book now that I've got a few copies, I'm going to get some more books from you, and the CD,
DVD, right?
DVD, the greatest story never told.
Yep.
Story never told, which looks great. I'm going to get that one. And then Mr. Goodrich, Hellstorm. We've been selling that, but we're out. And I see you sell it, so I'll get some of them from you, too.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we're both dissident booksellers, so we've been going through the same trouble, being banned and listed as hate groups for just telling the truth. I mean, this Benton Bradbury hit this author of The Myth of German Villainy. I'm only in the early chapters right now, but I'll be reading the rest of this. And Thomas Goodrich wrote the foreword to it. Talk about some powerful truth tellers.
Absolutely.
Most Americans never heard of these people, but kind of like Dr. Pierce, Revelo Oliver, Ben Clausen. People never heard of these people, and they're portrayed as haters, as evil, for telling the truth.
But yeah,
the people that portray them like that are,
well, because the, the Jews media
the ones
tells
telling
them
the truth about. Yeah,
right. Exactly. You know, it's so obvious now because, and I'm not a real, I call it anti-social media. I'm not a social media guy, but because of this, what they call X now, this Twitter, because this guy Musk, for whatever reason or reasons, all right, not bringing that into the equation, he's allowing, not everyone, because Duke's still not on there, a couple other people, but he's allowing pretty much anybody to say almost anything. And it really is the Wild West out there, like the internet used to be. And you can see that if speech is allowed to proceed unfettered, then obviously more people will wake up. And that's what these kikes have done all these decades with the control of the media.
Yeah.
By censoring, by omitting. And of course, very few people are actually paying attention to them now. But unfortunately, the lemmings are still, you know, they're still believing in the, you know, in the integrity of their media and government institutions. But that number is decreasing dramatically. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've never been on Twitter or X or Facebook, I call it, Instagram.
Yeah, TikTok. I call it Jewbook.
All yeah. of them. I've just never been on any of those social media. We've got our own nationalvanguard.org, which is, to me, social media. It's halfway interactive.
You know, let me just say again, because it is almost the top of the hour, that we're talking to Will Williams, the head of the National Alliance, which can be found at natall.com. So the first three letters of National and the first three letters of Alliance, mm-hmm. natall.com. And you'll see that really, really good-looking website. And on the tab, it has home, about, contact, donate, get active, buy books, buy CDs, listen now. So on that buy books, that's where you can get the books that Will was just talking about to support the National Alliance. Now, what about National Vanguard? How can folks access that?
Natall.com, we got that domain in 1995. We went online, what's that, 30, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, that was 3 years after the internet was released for commercial purposes.
And up until then, we had to magazines, mail newsletters, use the telephone, and long-distance calls weren't cheap then either. And natvan.com was National Vanguard, and now it's nationalvanguard.org. That's our online magazine. Mailing magazines just got to be cost prohibitive. So it's almost all online now, you know. But our bookstore, when I took over the Alliance in 2014, it was pretty much flatlining. We were being sued, and there were coup attempts, and, oh, God, the debt I inherited. It took several years before we were ready to get back in business, the book-selling business, which is so important. Cosmotheistchurch.org is our bookstore. And, oh, man, what we've been through with the censors and banning books and Amazon. You know, none of our books are on Amazon. And PayPal, credit cards. When people go online and buy stuff, they use their credit cards. But they made it where nobody could use their credit cards. So it's not been easy, but we're still going. And here I've been invited on a radio show. My goodness, I don't do podcasts. I don't do social media. I don't even have a cell phone. I've got a landline, and I'm accessible to the ones that count, and email. I don't like using Gmail. That's Google's use. But,
yeah, Google.
But I don't know. I'm just not technically proficient, and I don't have to be. As long as I can have people around me who are, that's right. What counts.
Like Lana.
Like Kevin.
Yes. Kevin, tell listeners a little bit about Kevin before we go to that top of the hour break.
Kevin Alfred Strom, he's been an Alliance member since 1982, and he's professionally a broadcast engineer, so he's very good with electronics and radios and all that. I think he was in with a group of ham experts this weekend, ham radio, which is good. That got us into American Dissident Voices back in 1991. The first show was on shortwave because Kevin knew his way around that. And then we eventually got on AM stations, and until the internet came along, it was a struggle. The Jews would contact the stations and threaten boycotts, going after their advertisers or whatever they do. And now, since it's been the internet, they just don't have that kind of control. But they're trying. I went to my local library a month or so ago and got a PIN number and went over to a computer with a fellow member. And the only reason I went over there was to look up our websites, and they're blocked at my local library, and they're probably blocked in schools. And it's ADL software, hateware, or whatever it is that they bundle when schools and libraries buy computers in bulk. It's already, they've got us blocked.
Yep. It's already censored. Yeah, yeah. It's pre-censored, so they don't see it. It's incredible.
Well, they'd say it's to protect the kiddies from pornography or whatever, but they lump in hate, and then they get to define what hate is, which is criticism of Jews.
Exactly. So, for now, Brother Will. Yeah, for now.
Yep. That's right. Well, for every measure, there's a countermeasure.